Take your Bibles again with me. I'm going to read one verse from Psalm 71. I want you to turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. One verse from Psalm 71. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. I'm going to add a verse. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I've showed thy strength unto this generation, thy power to everyone that is to come. And then if you look at Psalm 78, I'm going to read through, actually we're going to add a verse, we're going to read through down to verse 7. Starting with verse number 4, Psalm 78, verse 4, will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. In the book of Judges, the Bible says that there arose those who, after the death of those who had come out of Egypt, there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. Isn't that interesting? I'm in 1 Samuel now in my Bible reading, but I had read recently through the book of Judges and how that God led Joshua to follow through after Moses and lead the people in conquering the land. It was Joshua had said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua had a great heart for God, had served as a minister, a servant to Moses, and became the military leader under God's direction. It wasn't Joshua's great military aptitude that caused them to conquer Jericho. It was God's power. Amen. And he just followed directions. If we're going to be good leaders for God, we just got to learn to follow God's directions. And Joshua and all those people, Caleb with Joshua, a gentleman in our adult Sunday school 2 weeks ago when we had the breakaway Sunday, talked about Joshua and Caleb, how they were joined together in principle. And they're the only two that got to see the promised land of those over age 20 that came out of Egypt. They were the only two that got to go into the promised land, males that is, and Joshua and Caleb. And you remember Joshua or Caleb, 80 years of old, he said, I want this mountain, you know, and I'm as strong as I've always been. And every 80-year-old feels that, I'm sure. But he wanted that mountain, and what a great example Caleb and Joshua were. And all the people that came out, the younger ones that had grown up now, came out of Egypt and they'd been involved in conquering the land of Canaan. And they served the Lord until Joshua and Caleb were gone and those that had outlived them. And then there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. This is what God has in mind when he said that the generation, or verse 5, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. This morning we've been speaking about having a vision, a greater vision for 2020, and there are several points around which in my mind, I'm building on that thought, and one of which is that of a vision for our families. But this kind of supersedes that more than greater than our families. This morning, I want to speak on a vision for the next generation, the next generation. By that, I mean the ones coming up, but even the ones coming up after them. I believe that my generation and the generation preceding mine really dropped the ball when it comes, particularly in America, when it comes to fulfilling this obligation, to let them know the works of God, that they might set their hope in God and not forget his works, the generation to come. And in our country, as you know, we have a lot of issues today that some might say are just generational differences, but they're not. They're spiritual differences, spiritual differences. And so this morning I want to speak on a vision for the next generation. Some of the things that I'm sharing, I preached some of these thoughts back in 2017. Went back and looked at that, and my heart's been just burdened about this line of thought as we think of a greater vision. We all can do more for God than we're doing. Amen? And so a greater vision, a vision for the next generation. And let's just pause for a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, for the health and strength enabling me to do so. And Lord, I thank you for each person that's come this morning. Many have been ill through the winter months, and it's good to see folks out in service. And Lord, thank you for each one that's here. And now, Lord, we all have a great job to do. No matter where we are in the age spectrum, we have a great job for you to do. And I pray that today the Holy Spirit would minister to all of our hearts, that we might be what you want us to be and accomplish what you want us to do in the days we have and upon those whom you've given us to influence. I pray that you'd bless the message this morning. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I've rehearsed many times, you know, I thought about a preacher that's been preaching for many years might be kind of like a vinyl record. Most of us don't know what vinyl records are. I remember one time I said something to my grandson, Ryan, about a record. And he said, "Pappy, what's a record?" You know, and that was yesterday. But anyway, no, not really. That was a few years ago. "Pappy, what's a record?" Of course, now, you know, CDs are almost obsolete now. But, you know, an old record, the section, that, especially on the 33, the big album, the one that you used a lot, the thought that you had a lot, would get maybe a scratch in it, and it bounced back to it. It, you know, "Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me," you know, it go back to that, bounce back to that. Yeah, how many of you ever listened to one of those, huh? Boy, the hands are not, they're kind of sparse here this morning with that. But, you know, the we call it, that's a broken record, meaning that, you know, it has a scratch and it makes you bounce back and say the same things. But I find that the longer in the ministry, I may have a tendency to do that, not because I'm becoming senile and messing up the sheets that I give to Brother Jeff, but because I think, that my heart is feeling and sensing the most or the greatest needs of our day. We preach the whole counsel of God. We preach the Bible Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, teach the Bible. Sunday school, teach the Bible. I mean, the Bible's our book. I encourage us to read the whole Bible. I read through it every year, some 35, 36, 37 times I've read through the Bible. We preach the whole Bible, but there are certain things that are time relevant, that are impressed upon my heart, I believe, by the Holy Spirit of God, that need reminding in our day. Out of sight, out of mind. And the Apostle Peter wrote things to stir up their pure minds by remembrance, reminding them of things that they knew. And so that's kind of the way I see myself, particularly with thoughts along the lines that I'm preaching this morning. As you know, I grew up in a Bible-believing Christian home, for which I'm thankful. You've heard me say I was in Sunday school, Sunday morning, morning service, Sunday night church, Wednesday night church, special meetings that were held. I was there because I had to be. But I picked up things, amen? I'm glad I was there. You know, sometimes it may seem like young people aren't really gleaning what's being said, but believe me, they are. Hopefully on purpose. It didn't hurt me to be in church all the time. In fact, it kept me out of other things, which I know I would have been involved in had I not been in church. And it certainly laid a solid foundation for me, giving me a reference point for life. When I was 19 years old, almost 20, I was convicted of my own need to be saved. Growing up in a Christian home, believing all the concepts, the truths, did not save a person. But at age almost 20, 19, age of 19, I realized I needed to be saved and received Christ as my Savior. I had believed the Bible. I had believed what my parents had taught and exemplified. They were sincere people. I knew I was a lost sinner headed for hell, and I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior. I also believed the basic biblical perspective and church polity that I grew up in. I believed that was the biblical way. That's why I am what I am today. I think it was right. You know, one very important thing that will happen in a young person's life that's been exposed to truth is to come to grips with the fact is it's right. Amen? It's right. Regardless of what anybody else says in the world, what I've been taught is right. It's solid. As I grew in grace after coming to the Lord as my Savior, the things that I'd been taught were confirmed in my mind by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's a great thing too, that when you see it in the Bible as a decision-making young adult, when you see in the Bible what you've been taught as a young person, it just solidifies the truth. Certainly minor aspects of practice and approach vary, but the foundation I grew up upon has been my life's reference point in conjunction with the Word of God. That's a fact. Every generation has its unique aspects, but every generation has the same needs. The difference in generations is due largely to the foundation upon which they're built. The foundation forms a generation's worldview and gives them a reference point. When the foundation is faulty, as a result of the reference point being faulty, the prospects of reaching them becomes more challenging because the foundation is not there. The trend of Christianity today is to adapt the present generation's foundation and reference point as a means to reach the generation. So what has happened in my mind is a structure is being built on a faulty foundation with an always changing reference point. How can I keep up with the generational perspectives? One can't. But there is a foundation which never changes, which is appropriate and relevant for every generation. Psalms 11 verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalm 82 5 says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Think about our societal thoughts and philosophies today. The foundations of the earth are out of course. You know, how many genders are there now today? Well, there's only two. But there's generational perspective that thinks there's three or four or five. Because the foundations are not there. What needs to happen today is that the right foundation needs to be laid in front of this generation. So they have something solid upon which to build. Proverbs 22 and verse 28 says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Isaiah 58 verse 12 says, they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Interesting verse, isn't it? It implies that paths have gone out of whack, that a breach has happened in a foundation, and those who walk with God and do those things that are right can become repairers of the breach and restorers of the paths to walk. In a way, I see that's what our need is today. I'm committed to, as the psalm we read, Psalm 91 says, to show God's power to this generation. This passage of Scripture really strikes home to me. God has not changed. His power remains the same, and this generation needs to know about it so that the next generation will also know what we have known. This generation needs the foundation of the Word of God, just like every other generation has needed the foundation of the Word of God. We cannot make the mistake today of thinking people of our day need something different. What people do with the Bible determines what God does with them. It was true of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Lot and Abraham, Noah and the people of his day. It was true of Saul and David and Joseph and Mary and Ananias and Sapphira and Agrippa and Herod. What we do with the Word of God determines what God does with us. Even though there are seemingly different physical dynamics and global dynamics today, this generation needs the same foundation that some of us were fortunate to have and has been established forever, the foundation of the Word of God. There are several things that I think about that are important to be made known to this generation. Number one, God is God. God is the omnipotent creator of the entire universe. God is God. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. God is God. Evolution has weaseled its way into the foundational teachings, starting with the baby boomers, Generation X, Generation Y, the millennials, Generation Z, and Generation Alpha. Those born after 2010, learning by the screen of a cell phone. Evolution has eroded the foundation, which is what is making the generations so different. A different philosophy. The absence of the foundation of truth has put a tremendous spiritual gap between the generations of our day and the former generations. It's a spiritual gap, not a generational gap. But God is still the Creator. After Joshua, there arose a people who knew not the Lord. I'm sure many of them said, you don't understand our generation. No. God is God. He's established right and wrong for mankind. We live in a day of moral relativism. Moral relativism is the philosophy of life that does not yield to an unchanging universal moral code of divine origin. But instead, its morality is guided by personal situations and popular opinions. Humanism and relativism. The law of God is the foundation of morality for all humanity. And it originates, the law of God and its morality originates in the holiness and righteousness of Almighty God. I am the Lord, I change not. He has pronounced judgment upon sin and provided a savior from sin. He is God. And he will judge this world in righteousness. This generation needs to know, be reminded, be taught, so the next generation even though in our day, with the rise of socialism in America, and I mentioned last week, I think in Sunday school hour, socialism may seem like a good thing for the immediate needs of people, but it takes a totalitarian regime to make it, quote, work. And then it only works till it runs out of everybody else's money. And then communism displaces it so that people trust not in God but in government. Don't let anybody fool you. The wave of socialism in our country is not a generational thing. It's a spiritual gap because the foundations of truth have been left out. The second thing, we should know God is God, but people need to be reminded today and taught that God's word is the authority. I will stand upon the word of God against anything else anyone offers. The Bible stands though the hills may crumble. It'll firmly stand though the earth may tumble. The songwriter said, I'll stand by the Bible. Amen? I'll stand by the Bible. There's no real knowledge. Like we say to the kids at Vacation Bible School, the Bible is the Word of God. And I have them repeat, the Bible is what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Not because you said so. You're saying so because it is. The Bible is the Word of God. There's no real knowledge of God apart from the revelation of himself recorded throughout Scripture, culminating in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. We don't know about God because we've figured in our minds who he might be or what we might want him to be. We know about God because God has revealed himself to mankind and recorded that in the Scripture that we might know him. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God but keep his commandments. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into the glory. There is no argumentation over that, except a lie. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, or 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 says, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What? Or upon what will the next generation have to set their faith upon? What will they be able to set their trust in if they don't have the Bible? I'm so glad I was taught the Bible as a young person. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible can meet every need we have. It's profitable. God's word is the authority. Human philosophy and so-called science is ever changing. You know, the philosophical people remind me of the statement Job said to his friends as a slam to them. No doubt when you die, wisdom will die with you. Some of these philosophical people that are not founding their thoughts upon Scripture just remind me of that statement. So-called science is ever-changing. The global promotion of evolution has given rise to the philosophy that negates the relevance of the Bible. But the Bible still stands. It abides forever. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Amen? And I want the next generation to sing that song. The next thing is that God's foundation is a stewardship. God's foundation, the foundation of God and His Word, is a stewardship for us to take care of. We've been given the foundation of truth about which we are stewards. We are accountable to take the truth of God's Word and pass it to our children so that they pass it to their children, that the generation to come, whatever you call it, might put their hope and trust in God. As I said before, the gap is not in the generation I've found. The gap is in the foundation each generation has. Each generation is accountable to pass God's truth on to the new generation. I despise, reject the claim that people need something different. Yes, there's different applications in time, but everybody today, baby boomer, X, Y, Z, A, B, C, needs the B-I-B-L-E. I don't believe in generational gaps. I don't believe in it. I believe each generation does things different. I believe that phrase generational gap is an excuse to not hold on to some of the values that the prior generation had. I believe there's truth gaps, not generation gaps. Truth gaps. The major differences in generations are the result of what they're doing with the truth. The farther a generation is from the Word of God, the greater the so-called generation gap. Each generation has been given the stewardship of truth to pass it on, and it's the truth that unites every generation. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That was a global pronunciation, not a generational pronunciation. And it has to do with all of humanity, not a certain time of humanity. The next thing that I think is so important as a vision for the next generation is understand that God can change your life. People look for physical things, tangible things to make a difference. If only I were in a different environment, if I could be, you know, if I had this opportunity, if somebody paid for all my college. You know what? Not only did I walk 8 miles to school every day back and forth. No, I didn't really. I'm just going to give a little. I went to Bible college as a married man. Left married to the same woman. And worked over 40 hours a week at night. Went to college in the day. Ran a bus route, called in Chicago door to door on Saturdays from about 10 till about 3 in the afternoon every Saturday. Drove a bus picking up kids for Sunday school on Sunday, going into Chicago, picking up kids for Sunday school. And made it through college, magna cum laude, amen? That means something, I'm just not sure what. Point being, I appreciated the things that I learned. I never fell asleep in class. The teachers would say, listen, if you guys are tired, I know you're working, get up and stand in the back. Slap yourself, do something. Well, one guy took that literally. So he'd get a little tired, whack, he slapped the face. Till we started slapping it for him. No, not really. You appreciate what you pay for. What you work for, you appreciate. And I got can I throw a little thought in my mind? You know why they want public education through college to be free today? So that they can pollute the minds with anti-God evolutionary thinking with socialism as a goal. I want people to know God is real and can change your life today. Whatever your circumstance, whatever your lack of foundation may be, whatever your personal issues are, all things are possible with God. Amen. Not government, God. Not mom and dad, God. Oh God, the psalmist said, Psalm 71:17 we read, Thou hast taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. God can change your life. I know what God's done for me. I know how he spared me, how he saved me, how he's changed me, how he called me, how he's used me, and how he sustains me. God can change your life. God has the power to help you. Abraham's wife, Sarah, laughed at God letting her have a baby at 90 years of age. You'd laugh too. But the question was brought forth, is anything too hard for the Lord? Young people, listen to me, and older ones alike. God can change your life. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call him. Amen. He has the power to help you, young people, tell the next generation in the dire straits they may find themselves that there's a God in heaven who can help them. Wherever you are, Jonah, down in the depths of the sea, God can help you. Whatever you're like, maniac Gadara, bound by sin and chains of man, God can change you. And he's found seated and clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. God can change you. Wherever you are right now, the impact you're going to have on the next generation hinges on what you let God do in your life today. It really does. Where would you be with your family if God hadn't changed your life? And what matters for the next generation, a vision for them to come, is what you and I do, what we let God do for us today. Everybody here, what you let God do with you today will impact the next generation. Get a vision for that next generation. The next thing is accountability to God. People need to be reminded today of accountability to God. Every person is accountable to God personally. Would you all raise your hands, please? Raise them high. You're acknowledging that. You just made you're accountable to me right now, and you raise your hand. Don't raise her hand. Okay. All right, you can put your hands down. You raise your hand. Every one of you will stand before God. It'll be your turn. Never mind. My mind is running. It'll be your turn. As a born-again Christian, you'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account as to how you spent your life after you're saved, what you did for him or didn't do, why you did it or why you didn't do it. Whether you receive rewards is contingent upon how you built your life on the foundation of his salvation and his word. If you are not saved, you will stand before God the judge and give an account for every sin you ever committed and will spend eternity in the lake of fire forever in torment, regretting that you did not get saved when you had the opportunity. This generation and the next generation needs to know they're accountable to God. Each person, after death. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. If evolution is true, life doesn't matter. How you live doesn't matter. But it's not true. The Word of God is true. God is God. And how you live does matter. The next thing and the last major point here is that salvation is an essential. Salvation is an essential. Jesus proclaimed, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said that. Religion doesn't get a person into heaven. This church does not get a person to heaven. This generation needs to know the worship experience is not salvation. Genuine salvation teaches us to worship God in spirit and in truth. Reality of walk. Mankind in every generation is sinful, condemned in sin, and everyone needs to be saved. Not made religious, but saved. People have been taught that they need to feel good about themselves, but Paul said that in him dwelt no good thing. You and I need to know that we need to be saved or rescued from sin's penalty by faith alone in Jesus Christ, what he did for us at Calvary. And that he paid for our sins on the cross, shedding his blood to wash away our sin, and that he rose again from the dead to give you his righteousness. Except a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What a tragic thing for the next generation to grow up religiousized, but not saved. Many shall say, well, didn't we do many wonderful works in thy name? And Jesus will say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, for I never knew you. There will be religious people who may have done things in the name of Jesus, but were not born again. Jesus said, except a man is born again, born from above, the new birth, where we come to realize that we're sinners headed for hell and that Jesus Christ paid for our sins, provides us righteousness through his resurrection, his righteous life. And the only way to go to heaven is to admit to him that we've sinned and call on him, ask him to come into our heart and save us, trusting that he'll do that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That needs to take place. Whether I'm a baby boomer, Generation Xer, Y-er, Z-er, Alpha, or whatever, I'm going to need to be saved. Someone mentioned to me not long ago how great it was to come to church here and see older people and middle-aged people, younger couples with children, and lots of young people in church hearing the same things together. What a great representation this morning, looking around. A lady told me that she wanted her children to be in church where they learned the same things she did as a child. That's what I'm talking about. The psalmist said, O God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. I've heard many men of God from the previous generation passionately preach the word of God. I heard Dr. B.R. Lakin in his 80s, well-known evangelist, preach the word of God. I've heard Dr. John R. Rice, and I told you he's the one that God used to challenge me to read through my Bible every year. Had great revivals in the 40s and 50s across America. I've heard Dr. Bill Rice and his sons, Bill Rice and Pete Rice. I've heard Dr. Curtis Hudson, Dr. Jack Hiles, Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. John Rawlins, Paul Tassel, Tom Williams, Lester Olof, Bob Jones III, who's up in years, Tom Malone, A.V. Henderson, Bob Gray, Bob Kelly, Billy Kelly, George Whitman, and many, many others who impacted my life and brought to my mind the power of God and its relevance for my generation. God used them to stir me, not necessarily be just like them, but to carry the same biblical truth to this generation, that this generation might show the next generation to come the words and works of Almighty God. So then how are we to carry out this, to make the next generation know the foundational truths? A few things quickly. Following how is how we can bring the vision to pass. Number one, speak of God's righteousness. Speak of God's righteousness. Talk about it. People need to hear how right God is. Verse 15 in the passage we read in Psalm 71 says, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day." Speak of it. Talk of it. The next thing is we need to depend on God's strength to do that. Verse 16 says, "I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only." Psalm 71, 16. Depend on God's strength to do it. It's hard to buck public opinion. It's hard to stand against trends. But when you stand on truth, you're on solid ground. Depend on God's strength. Parents here this morning, your kids are going to say, "Well, it's different today, Mom and Dad." And there are things that are different. But you lay down the foundation. That's the same. depend on God's strength. Number three, teach them God's truth. Have them in Sunday school. Have them in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night. You know what? Kids can sit in church and learn. Amen? I got in trouble for fooling around in church a few times when I was growing up. I have to admit it was probably someone else's fault. I just responded. I remember one time, my dad said, Jim, you have a problem? Indeed, I did. Then and later. But you know what? Even as a kid, I wasn't saved, and I wasn't 100% interested. I heard things that come back to my mind today. I don't care that the attention span is only milliseconds nowadays. Kids can sit and listen to the Word of God. They can sit everywhere else. Teach them God's truth at home, church. Number four, declare God's works. Declare God's work. Declare what God has done. Now, of course, generically, the creation of the world, but works in your life. Tell people what God's done for you. I was burdened about something and I prayed and God helped me. I had a need and I prayed about it and God met that need. That's not boasting of yourself. It's bragging on God. Declare thy works, verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth and hitherto up to now, in other words, have I declared thy wondrous works. You might have grown weary of me saying August 13th, 1976, Fort Hood, Texas, outside of guard shack, I call on Christ to be my Savior. I'm declaring God's works. I know what God did in my life. I know the work that He did. You need to tell others what God has done for you. It encourages your heart to trust God for more, and it incites them to want God to do something for them. Declare God's works. Number five. Verse 18 says, now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that has come. Number five, keep the standard. Anybody that would attend service here in 2020, that attended a service here in 88 when I first came, would find that I'm still preaching the same word of God. Amen. Because what I have is here, not just here emotionally. Mm-hmm. Not here pragmatically because of the circumstances. Not here because this is how I grew up. It's here because this doesn't change. And I say, if the next generation to come, I'm not talking about the ones that are here, the next to come is going to have any stability at all, it'll be because you and I have kept the standard upholding God and His Word in our lives to the generation that follows us, and it gets passed to the generation to come. Amazing. Just one generation after Joshua and Caleb, and they went in idolatry. One generation. Because they did not actively do what the psalmist said, that that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should rise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. We've got to keep the standard. Keep the standard. This morning I say, let's have a greater vision for the next generation. You know, it's interesting. I've noticed several different teenagers as I've been preaching this morning. And look at me for a second, all the teenagers. Before you know it, you're going to be where your mom and dad sit. Listen to me. And what you grab on now will make all the difference on what you do for them then. Amen. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. I know I've preached a little longer than normal, but I'm going to close. We need to get a vision for the next generation. A vision that starts with a renewed foundation of God. In closing, if you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, make sure. I sat with a dear friend of my wife's, a friend of mine, this past Tuesday night. She knew she was dying. But she knew the truth, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. We hear of dying grace. We never have it till we're there. And we don't have it for others either. And she sensed in me a feeling of sadness or remorse. She said, don't feel bad for me. With exuberance. She said, I'm going to see Jesus before you get to. She meant it. I'm saved. I'm going to see Jesus. Amen. If you're not sure that you're saved, make sure of that. God says, look unto me all the ends of the earth and be saved, for I am God. I want you to know the same power of God and salvation that I've come to know, that my wife's friend knows and is experiencing today, and that our loved ones who've gone on before us, saved people, are experiencing today. And the only way the next generation will have it is if we pass it on to them. If you're not sure that you're saved, make sure today. Make sure today. Help you make sure from the Bible. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd use it in our lives today. And Lord, that we would be what we need to be for you today and for those who follow us tomorrow. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just take something or some things that have been shared and cement them in our hearts, that we'll be changed, we'll be different, we'll be strengthened, we'll be what you want us to be for today and for others tomorrow. Help us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder if there's anyone here today who'd say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved, to be honest with you. I've been religious, I've heard the truth, but there's just not a definite time in which I've personally asked Christ to be my Savior, believing he died and rose for me and calling on him to save my soul, come into my heart and wash away my sins. Give me his eternal life once and for all forever. I can't say that I know that I've really trusted him to do that for me. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in. The opening the door is you saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and need to be saved. I believe you did it for me. Come into my heart and save me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you don't know that, you don't have that assurance, when we stand and sing, I want you to come down to the front and say, Pastor Whitman, I want to make sure in my soul that I'm saved. I don't know 100% sure. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. I want to have that assurance in my heart. I know my sin would send me to hell, but Jesus died for me. I want what he offers. If that's you this morning when we stand and sing, I'd encourage you to come. Christians, I'd encourage you just to dig in deep and be what God wants you to be. Keep on keeping on with what God wants you to be today. Regardless of what goes on around us, determined to keep on keeping on like you ought to for the Lord. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, bless this invitation, I pray. Glorify your name in and through our lives, I pray. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You come if you need to. I'll meet you at the front.
Number 328. Come every soul, my sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you.
Father, we thank you that you're a God at hand and a God afar off, that you're ever near, and Lord, that you're always there. You said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Lord, thank you that you're the same today, that you've always been in eternity past. You've always been for all those saints we read about in the scripture, for those that have come before us. You're the same for us today, and you'll be the same for the next generation. Lord, we realize it's our responsibility to make sure they hear about you. Help us to be faithful. Lord, this group right here in this room, help us to fulfill this mandate and have a vision for the next generation. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.